This year saw the 31st Australian Women's Keelboat Regatta, one of the best known regattas on the Australian women's racing calendar. I'm Deborah Wallace and welcome to another Women in Sailing podcast. We touch base with Nadine Tabak from the Royal Melbourne Yacht Squadron and chat to her about the 2023 regatta, the Magenta Project where she was a mentee, sailing in Melbourne and her 2022 Melbourne to Hobart yacht race. I'd like to welcome Nadine. Nadine, you've been with the Royal Melbourne Yacht Squadron for 3 and a bit years now. Tell us about your journey.
Yeah, so I started sailing 3 and a bit years ago, and that's when I joined Royal Melbourne. I had just moved to Melbourne. I was looking for something to connect me to the community a little bit, something to engage with and an opportunity to make some friends, and I thought sailing would be a good opportunity to do so. I'd had a conversation, I was living in Canada before I moved to Melbourne, with a friend's parents who were going to be crewing from Panama to Tahiti, and I was just amazed. I said, I would just so love to do something like that. How can I get involved? And they said, just show up at your local yacht club. And I was like, what? I had this very, you know, common perception that sailing was, you buy a dinghy, you learn how to sail a dinghy, you buy a slightly bigger dinghy, and then eventually you get yourself onto a keelboat. And of course their reaction was, no. For every person that owns a boat, they need, you know, 3, 5, 7 crew. Just show up at your local club, someone will take you out. Was shocked, moved to Melbourne, and then researched Discover Sailing Days. I very nearly went to Elwood Sailing Club, so would have ended up as a dinghy girl myself, if that had been the case, potentially. But ended up camping that weekend, and so missed that Discover Sailing Day. Royal Melbourne had theirs the next weekend. I came along, I went out on a boat, and then fell in love, and I've been sailing ever since.
And hence you sit on two subcommittees for Royal Melbourne.
So I'm on the Australian Women Keelboat Regatta Committee, Planning Committee. I am on the Member Services Committee. I am an elected member of the General Committee. And I am the chair of the, and the founding member, the chair and founding member of the Generational Outreach and Access Committee, which targets 18 to 35 year old engagement at the club.
So tell me a bit more about the Gen OA, as you call it.
Yeah, so Gen OA or GenOA, it stands for Generational Outreach and Access Committee. Basically, as I said, part of the reason why I came into sailing in the first place was to find community and friends. And as someone who is slightly younger, and I say that on the scale of the sailing community, not necessarily the global community, I am over 30 years old now. I struggled to find opportunity to connect with younger members within the club. I'd see one or two of them across the bar or across, you know, on other boats or around in places, but I didn't find a space for us to come together. And so I came up with the idea that we'd create a kind of holistic version of a committee. So it's definitely not your typical bang bang hammer meeting committee at all. We do meet once a month for a committee meeting. It's extremely social. It does achieve the goals of your standard committee as far as communicating the needs of the group and the intent, but it is a much more casual and social concept. The idea has introduced volunteering as a concept to a lot more of our members, so we've seen a lot of increased engagement for 18 to 35 year olds at the club, but in addition to that, we've also seen them engage in other volunteer aspects, such as joining other committees. 50% of the committees at Royal Melbourne Yacht Squadron now have an under 35 year old representative on the subcommittee, as compared to one prior to Genoa, which was me being on member services. And it was through my connection through member services and the support of the Rear Commodores that I've had in my time here that I've been able to create such a successful program. Increased engagement within that space, and it's basically about creating a voice and a space and allowing those younger members to kind of shape the club into what their needs are and communicate what their needs are. That's made it so successful.
And have you seen an increase in the diversity of the committees?
Yes, absolutely. So we do have younger members now on all of our other committees as well. Part of that is that we do have our Genoa committee meetings in the committee room at Royal Melbourne, and we're very thankful to Royal Melbourne and like the Commodore and the staff for allowing us to do that and to giving us the space to be able to do that. But it's taking a lot of the fear and the, you know, the barrier of stepping into this room is removed. And we still do get questions of, oh, am I allowed to come into your committee meeting? Of course, it's welcome. It's an open meeting. It's for everyone. It's, you know, we say we're targeted, not restricted. So we do have some members who are over 35, but it's a space for everyone. So in addition, it's also really interesting to see the diversity within the age group itself. So we are seeing representation fairly equally between male to female members in that age group. A lot less barriers between members and engagement. There is a lot, there's a very different mindset, I think, because we're coming in and, you know, riding the coattails of those that have come before us and created this space for us as females. The Genoa committee gets to come in and we really aren't facing as many of the same challenges. We are facing challenges as far as female engagement is concerned, but it's definitely interesting to see the different mindset between the groups and the demographics and how that works. We're also seeing a lot more diversity as far as LGBTQ inclusion. It's not even a question within our group of, is this something that it's just half the group?
Yeah. Let's just hop back to AWKR. Mm-hmm. How many boats did you end up getting? I know when we initially spoke, there were 28. Did you get to your 30 target?
We hit our 30 target.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So we were very happy to get our 30th boat. That worked out really, really well. So we hit our 30. Next year, goal, 40? No.
That'd be lovely.
But yeah, we were really happy with our 30 entries.
And because of the weather, did you get the maximum amount of races in that you hoped to get in?
Yes, we got all of our races in. So we had 5 Windward Leeward courses,
yep.
And we had one, we call it long distance, about 12 miles.
Mm-hmm.
So we managed to get all of our racing in, and it was really fantastic.
And how many divisions did you actually have during the series?
2 divisions.
Yep.
So yeah, Division 1 and Division 2 divided, of course, on boat.
And was there spinnaker and non-spinnaker?
No, spinnaker.
All spinnaker.
Everything spinnaker. So
fantastic.
Yeah, it's a full regatta, the same as any other regatta. It's just only females on board.
Okay. And if you'd like to run through the place getters for this regatta, that would be amazing.
Yes.
I'm sure they'd love to hear their names out there.
Yes. So we had Claire Hennan on Jungle Juice. Jungle Juice is an RMYS boat that Claire used. Janet Dean is the owner of that boat, so it was fantastic to see Claire and her incredible team do so well. That was for Division 1. And then we, of course, had the young Claire Olding from Royal Vic coming over and on her Vertigo, her father's boat, which was fantastic to have their team out. They came in second. And Helen Wilmer on Mrs. O for Division 1, third place in event handicap. In Division 2, we had Sophie Davidson on Vice Versa from South Australia. That's the uni team, I believe. So fantastic to see them doing so well. Jenny Simonson on Outlaw and Kath Beaufort. She's a regular in the Port Phillip Women Series on Up and Go. So some really awesome teams from across Australia and across Victoria in those top positions in both Div 1 and Div 2.
And back on land, what about the social events?
Oh, it's so much fun. It's such a fun regatta. So each day we have barbecue and we have drinks sponsored downstairs. And it's just such a fun time to connect and meet up with everyone that you know from kind of around the country. And they come back, our participants come back year after year. And that social and networking opportunity is really what makes the event. We had a fantastic crew dinner on the Saturday evening where all of our crews got together and, you know, yeah, live band on Sunday and, of course, presentation on Monday. Yeah.
On Monday. Was he sailing on the Monday?
Yes. Yep. We had one race on the Monday. So it's usually, it's set for 2, 2, 2, but of course we can get one ahead. So we go 3 on the Saturday, 2 on the Sunday, 1 on the Monday. That's usually our ideal. And that means we can get to presentation nice and early, you know, and get through things, and it's yeah, fantastic weekend.
Fantastic. So number 32 will be June next year.
Certainly will, yes. Yeah,
it will be. So pop that on your calendars.
Yes.
Get that in there for the June long weekend 2024.
So we have so much support for this event. It's really fantastic to see how many people come together to make it what it is. The whole planning committee, of course, the staff at Royal Melbourne as well, the amount of volunteers that we have that give up their time, the boat boys, and then also the sponsors. We have such a fantastic set of sponsors. Rebecca Badenoch has been sponsoring this event for, I believe, 16 years. Now the boat boys for about 16 years, which is just amazing. Doyle Sales has always been such a massive supporter of us. They provide all of the boat bags and they do the team bags, and they also do overnight repairs for everyone that's competing if we break any sails. Boating Central was fantastic coming on board this year. They actually provided overnight delivery for everyone. So anyone who needed any equipment or any gear or anything, they could order from Boating Central and it'll be delivered by 8 a.m. the next morning to make sure that we had it in time for racing, which was...
Oh, that's incredible.
Oh, that was the best, yeah. That was the best service that we could have asked for. Melbourne Debt Collectors and Brothwell Law were fantastic in supporting us. We worked with She Sales and their support from Vic Health to run a bit of an educational program. Take a look at a little bit of foiling information as well with Stacey Jackson and Danielle Watkins and their perspective from being a competitor and a judge. We had Sunday Body giving everyone a bottle of body wash each, which are best smelling regatta you've ever been
there
to.
There you go.
Bruisees, of course, came on this year to sponsor a bruise competition. So they were fantastic, and it was such a hoot running those competitions, and it's a great product too. Life Vantage gave us all some like energy drink sessions.
Oh, yeah.
And Moondog Craft Brewery was with us, and Jimmy Rum were both with us in support of our beverage requirements.
Fantastic, fantastic. What an amazing group or eclectic group of sponsors for you. Not necessarily from the sailing industry, but all supporting the sailing industry. And a fantastic regatta. Congratulations to you and the team.
Thank you.
And the Royal Melbourne Yacht Squadron for a great regatta.
Thank you.
Let's have a little bit of a talk about Magenta mm-hmm. Project.
Yes.
And I understand that you are a Magenta mentee.
Yes.
And if you can share a little bit about how that came about and what that means to you.
Yeah, absolutely. So Magenta Project is an international mentorship and encouragement of females within the sport of sailing. It's a really amazing program that's run, I think it's based out of the UK primarily, but we have mentees from across the world and mentors from across the world. I saw the application process was open last year and decided to put my name forward for it. They'd created a new category, which wasn't specifically to do with on water expertise, but it was other. So they were specifically kind of looking for engineers and those sorts of things. And I put myself forward under leadership, event management. And that's where I feel that my niche within the sailing community
yep.
really lies. And that's where I felt that I would have loved, you know, extra support from and guidance from someone, and Magenta has been absolutely amazing in helping me with that. I was paired with Sharon Ferris Choate, and we had amazing discussions about a potential event that we might look to run in the future at some point, but also just navigating the events that I was participating or I am participating in as a female sailor, very encouraging. And then also working with the rest of the Magenta group, it's definitely the kind of thing that the amount that you put in is the amount that you get out. But I was happy to give it my all as a member of this year's batch, and it's been fantastic. I've met so many amazing, amazing people from across Australia and the world, and sometimes we've met online and sometimes we've met in person. I had the opportunity to run a presentation on female engagement for the other mentees and mentors this year, which was an incredible thing to be a part of. And yeah, it's just been such an incredible experience. I've learned so much from the whole group, and I'm looking forward to, honestly, even though my mentorship with them is about to finish up, my year's nearly over, 9 months, as the UK summer comes to an end.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to continuing my engagement with them. But yeah, just finding ways that I can give back. They have a lot of volunteer opportunities. They have a few committees and they run awesome programs around the world. They've got one coming up in Genoa for a Mocha with a female engagement day, all sorts of different programs that they run. They've got a group going to Foiling Week and everything like that. So yeah.
We actually met through Nick Douglas and her mentee, Maddie Lyons.
Yes.
And we have common ground there. You're in Melbourne. You mm-hmm. just completed Melbourne to Hobart.
Yes.
How was that race for you?
That was really interesting. That was the biggest, longest ocean race that I've done so far, the most challenging by far. It was a really interesting race to be a part of. It was the 50th anniversary run by ORCV this year, so it was a very important and big race for them. And it was really awesome to be able to be a part of that. So big thanks to the team that let me go. That was another chapter that I got to sail with.
Yeah.
Some awesome sailors on that team that they were so willing to just let me pop out and come hang out for the women networking event that
yes.
we hosted.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was incredible to be a part of that and to get to experience Hobart after, you know, the racing, because of course it ties in, it's at the same time as Sydney Hobart, so we finish at approximately the same time. I think we start a day later. Yeah, to be engaged in that and to be in that space in Hobart and to get to enjoy Hobart in that way, it was an incredible experience. So
how long did it take you to actually compete the Melbourne to Hobart? And what boat were you on?
I was on another chapter with Greg Clinic and their team out of Royal Brighton.
Yes.
They're a really experienced crew, a really fantastic team. They've sailed together for a long time, so I definitely was the eighth member, but it was really great to be able to see them work together. It was such an educational experience mm-hmm. for me. I learned a lot. Yeah, it was fantastic.
And was that your first experience with shifts and rotations and being a part of that crew?
No, not my first experience being on shift or ocean sailing. I've done a little bit before. Of course, I've only been sailing for 3 years, so yeah. I've been trying to get my miles up as much as possible. I'd done a couple of Tassie deliveries where we'd done overnights. I'd done an Adelaide delivery, and I had done the King Island race where I raced there with a crew of three, and I actually had the opportunity to skip a back from King Island, which was a really interesting experience to take up that level and that position. It was obviously a very nominal position coming back, but it was such a fantastic experience to be able to work and operate in that capacity. It was really interesting, and I'm very thankful to that team. That was Morning Lassie that allowed me to do so.
Yeah, so you mentioned there skippering. Mm-hmm. Look, congratulations, 2022 Women's Novice Skipper and Navigator, ORCV Pro. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yes, so that was for a race that we had last year that I'd actually kind of forgotten about. But I was skippering and navigating for that one with the Ocean Racing Club of Victoria's race. Which was really fantastic to be a part of. An interesting one, because once again, the boat owner just kind of left the boat to us.
Oh, wow.
Which I'm fairly novice, and that was a big decision and a big call, but he was confident in my skills and my ability and our team. And thankfully, I had a really great team, even though none of them were really familiar with the boat either. And some of them were still kind of novice. It was really, really awesome to be able to work together in that way. And yeah, seeing when teams really work and really just gel is really awesome.
It is. So was it an all-female team that you had for this race?
No, that one was 50-50. So we had
okay.
two females on board and
fantastic.
Two males. And yeah, it was really, really cool to be a part of.
You did mention earlier the Port Phillip Bay series.
Yes.
You did mention there are a couple of different categories. Let's dive into how the categories are broken down mm-hmm. in regards to women's helm, positions on the boat, and the diversity of bringing female and male sailors together.
Yep.
How is that set up?
Yep, so when we have enough teams, so it does depend on entries, we like to have three categories available for entrants. There is the female helm, which can be just your normal team, but with a female helming. And that's because a lot of the individual races, when they're run by the clubs, are traditionally female helm races that we've turned into a series. And that's the history of the series, is that each of the clubs were hosting their own female helm race, and then we worked together to bring them into the series. In addition, we have female in key roles, which is our second category, which is basically navigators and helm and potentially bow and basically key roles, but you can still have males on board.
Yep.
And then we have the female-only teams.
Lovely. Okay. And then and they're the different divisions in there, which is fantastic. Divisions. Okay. And I know I'm jumping all over the place. Let's just go back to the Magenta project. Mm-hmm. What are your major takeaways at this point in time from the project?
I think the major takeaways that I have from having been in Magenta this year would definitely have to be just how much of a community there is out there, how much opportunity there is out there. And I sort of touched on this before when I was saying that, you know, the difference in perspectives for Genoa members to older members and females and engagement. But I'm definitely coming in a time where I'm riding on the coattails of those who've come before me, and I am so appreciative for those coattails and those paths that have been cleared and those opportunities that have been created, because there are so many amazing opportunities to, you know, keep encouraging females to get involved in the sport. We're not at 50-50, but, you know, we can be in not too long, and it'll be fantastic to make sure that female, like, getting out on the water and seeing how far you can push yourself, but not just that, but just using this as a space to find friends, connections. It helps with your mental health, it helps with your physical health. Being involved in a sport in any shape, no matter what sport it is just amazing. And we see so much dropout from young females. I think it's like a ridiculous amount, it's like 80% or something ridiculous, of 16-year-old females drop out of sport.
Why do you think that is?
So there's a few different discussion topics as to why this happens. It no longer becomes a priority. There's limited opportunities for females. So unless you are one of the few who are doing really, really well, you are, you know, there's very few chances for you to stay. You know, an area that we've just recently discussed at Magenta, a few of the girls who were in the mentee program had been on Olympic pathways, or still are on Olympic pathways, but are potentially coming to the end of their Olympic pathways if they don't make the pathway, make it to the Olympics this time round, sort of thing, or may have just missed out last time. And the amount of just hot stones just dropped on the ground that we see when it comes to opportunities. So finding ways that we can bridge the gap between, you might not be an Olympian, but there's still a space for you here. Let's figure out how we can communicate that. Not just that, but also how we can create spaces for everyone in the sport, because it is just such a fantastic sport to be involved with.
I know the saying is sailing is a sport for life.
Yes.
Unlike any other sport.
Yeah. Yeah,
so we participate until we're 80, 90 years old.
Yeah, I think so. We've got a 92-year-old who still sails most Wednesdays.
Yeah. My dad's 82, yeah, and he still sails. Yeah. So it's amazing. It really is. In regards to further education and what is on the horizon for yourself?
That's a good question. I must say that as much as it seems like I have a plan and a strategy at times, I've definitely been winging it as opportunity comes about. So I guess it's just what opportunity comes next. I think I would really like to find another team to spend some time with, potentially do a little bit of travel with that to commit kind of longer term with them and see some next opportunities with that. I'd like to see how we can grow Genoa further and to other clubs and other areas to increase more engagement of that 18 to 35 year old demographic across sailing across the world, essentially. A project that I have in mind at the moment that keeps the little snowball in the back of my brain is an inclusion and diversity book, which essentially just I love talking to people, so I just want to interview people about how we can create more diverse and inclusive opportunities for all clubs across the sport and work with other groups to do so.
Sailing wise, what's in the next 6 months for you? Are you doing another Melbourne to Hobart?
I don't have anything specifically locked in.
Club racing?
Club racing. Okay. Getting out on the water. Not going to not sail. Couldn't not sail. Looking to potentially do a charter at some stage and just chill out for the rest of the year. I've been going pretty hard so far this first 6 months. It's been pretty strenuous with all of the things. I definitely won't be planning and sailing the same regatta anytime soon. But looking forward to Festival of Sails, definitely.
Yeah.
Competing there. And whatever other opportunities come before me, I guess I'll just keep an open ear, to be honest.
So what's the sort of sailing now at the Royal Melbourne Yacht Squadron?
Yeah.
Is there, or do you close down for winter, or do you
no,
keep...
We sail,
no, you
we
do
sail
have a
year
winter
round.
Series.
We have a winter series. We sail Wednesday afternoons, so that makes it a bit more difficult with work, of course, but we can't do twilights because 5:30 and the sun sets.
No.
So we have our Wednesday afternoon sailing, so that'll be this afternoon. We'll start to see people showing up at the club shortly.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, during the summer, we start getting back into Wednesday evenings and we start getting onto weekends. I know the ORCB winter series is starting this weekend, so potentially I'll look to participate in some of their races coming up. But in the immediate future, in the next couple of weeks, I don't have anything specifically locked in.
Sounds like you need a Hamilton Island Race Week holiday.
I need a Hamilton Island Race Week. I think that's what... I just need... Yeah, any boats out there, look, give me a call, okay?
There's normally a few going from Melbourne.
Someone needs to be left behind.
Right. And that is with... We'll just touch very briefly on it. You do work for Australian Sailing.
Yes, so I work for Australian Sailing in club support. It's been a fantastic role for me to be in. It's helped increase my engagement with the sport again by another level of magnitude. Mm. I love what I do. I get to work with clubs every day.
Mm.
I get to help them work through their issues. I get to hear what's going on out in the sailing world. It's so fantastic to see so many achievements across Victoria and to work with the clubs and just engage with them. And I love my little clubs. So just, yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. That is really good. Last question.
Mm-hmm.
What advice would you give a 25 to 35 year old person that is looking for a sport to get into?
Come try sailing. Show up at a yacht club. Just knock on the door. It'll be fine. Someone will take you out. The phrase, I'd be interested, is a piece of advice that I give to so many people. Sometimes it can be scary to ask outright, to say, I want to. But to be able to use the phrase, I'd be interested in, is such a fantastic phrase. You might overhear a conversation, you might overhear an opportunity, might, you know, something might come up, or you might see something else that's happening, and you just say, I'd be interested in doing that. And that's such a great piece of terminology to just kind of express your wants without putting pressure on other people. But also feel free to put pressure on some people sometimes. But just knock on the door, say you're interested. We have sail pass programs which allow people to just get out on the water. You don't have to be a member of a club to go sailing anymore. You can just get out. It's usually like $10, $15, maybe $20, depending on your club that you go to. There's so many opportunities. And then there's so many resources out there for understanding. It can be a big barrier at first. A lot of the terminology, a lot of the, you know, things. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Don't be afraid to ask the dumb questions as well. A great question I always think of that got asked to me actually really early on was, what's a sail bag? And of course, if I said, grab your sail bag to anyone in the sailing community, they'd just be like, their bag full of sailing gear. But for
what
someone,
is that
for someone who
gear?
Doesn't know, they yeah. don't know what a sail bag specifically is. They think, oh, is this something very specific that I need? Is there a certain type of bag I need? And so just ask those questions, because they're not dumb questions. There's so much terminology that I think a lot of people within the sailing community, to be fair, who have been part of it their whole life, who've been bought into it and induced into it, you know, they know that they've got this knowledge. They forget sometimes that they have that knowledge, but asking those questions really helps actually to identify what those questions that are being missed are, and it helps to create space for more people to get engaged by having those discussions and identifying the spaces where the knowledge isn't being communicated properly as well.
Mm, great. Can people call the sailing office here and just say, hey, you know, I want to learn to sail. You've got a number of different courses here, etc., etc.
Yeah, we've got fantastic programs run out of the Royal Melbourne Yacht Squadron Training Academy, RMSTA, and we also have sail passes, and we have so many different opportunities for you to get involved with sailing. We have dinghy training, but then every club has so many opportunities to get involved with sailing usually. Just knock on the door and
walk in.
Yeah. Give them a call if you want, flick them an email.
Yeah,
they've usually got websites or at least Facebooks, most clubs.
Yep.
Some of the smaller clubs usually only kind of have a Facebook or a small page, but someone's willing to answer the phone. And usually the people at those smaller clubs, they're the ones who are so passionate and everyone's usually passionate, but you know, you get those people in the clubs, they're just so amazingly passionate, and it's their whole life work is these incredible clubs that have been there for so long, and they love getting people out on the water, and they love engaging new people, and the opportunity to show off something that you love to someone new is just such a fantastic experience. To see someone out on the water for the first time, someone finding their feet on board for the first time, someone overcoming their first challenges is just such an incredible experience. And so just if you've got any interest at all, if you've been thinking about it, if you have that thought in your mind, it's been such an amazing opportunity for me. It's opened so many doors for me. It's really created a whole different purpose. It's restructured my whole life, essentially, to be where I am now. It's amazing. So if you've got any interest at all, just knock on the door, give them a call, flick them an email.
Fantastic.
See you out on the water.
Yeah, I totally agree. Nadine, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
I really, really appreciate your time. Happy sailing.
And
I'll see you out in the water.
Yes, absolutely. See you out on the water. Thank you.
Take